With Montana News, I'm Olga Kramer. A Billings police officer shot and killed a man who was waving a gun around at a casino early this morning, marking the second fatal shooting by police in the city in less than 24 hours. Police Chief Rich St. John says Sergeant Brett Becker shot the 44-year-old man because he was threatening customers and refused to drop the gun. The man's gun was a pellet gun. St. John says the man's ex-wife had reported that he told her he planned to rob a casino. Police found him at about 1 a.m. Yesterday morning, a Billings police officer shot and killed 29-year-old Zachary Glenn Hoven at a downtown apartment. Officials say Hoven was waving a knife around, had thrown knives at officers, and was advancing on officers. Since 2012, 12 people have been killed by law enforcement officers in the city of 110,000 people. Montana Fish and Wildlife regulators are proposing to cap the number of commercial fishing guides on the Madison River. Fish, Wildlife, and Parks officials say the proposed recreational management plan between Quake Lake and the Jefferson River confluence is the result of increased boat traffic. FWP officials say the number of commercial outfitters on the Blue River trout stream has increased 72% since 2008. They propose capping the number of outfitters at current levels, limiting the number of commercial fishing trips in different river sections, and barring all commercial use on a portion of the lower river. The proposal must go through a public comment period and be approved by the Montana Fish and Wildlife Commission. The commission will take up the proposal at its April 19th meeting. Medical marijuana providers in Montana will start testing, labeling, and tracking their products as new rules take effect today for state officials to keep close tabs on pot plants from seedlings until they're sold. The sweeping regulations cover everything from employee ID badges to pesticide testing and aim to regulate the industry after voters in 2016 reversed severe restrictions previously passed by lawmakers. Some rules have not been finalized or are being delayed. For example, the State Department of Public Health and Human Services is granting a 20-day grace period from pesticide testing to give providers a little more time. Regulators are still rewriting other rules, such as how much marijuana a provider can have. Lawmakers complained that the original limit of 50 square feet of canopy space per patient was too much. The health department is expected to publish a new proposed limit on Friday, but it won't go into effect until after a public hearing in May. A survivor of the Holocaust will share his story in Kalispell tonight. Nikki Willette has more.
Peter Metzeler was 7 years old when Nazis stormed his home in Amsterdam and took everyone except himself and his mother. Metzeler will share his story of escape to Holland at a lecture sponsored by Flathead Valley Community College, the Holocaust Center for Humanity, and the Glacier Jewish Community. Gerda Reeb is the director of global programs at FVCC.
We're just really fortunate that we can listen to eyewitnesses and folks who were able to witness this rather atrocious part of our collective history. And I really appreciate the fact that he is one voice who is able to speak for the voiceless folks who have perished.
Metzeler will share photos and stories of his life, followed by a Q&A and a meet and greet. The lecture begins at 7 at Flathead Valley Community College. More details are on our website, mtpr.org. I'm Nikki Willette, Montana Public Radio.
A school bus aide in Great Falls has been suspended while Big Sky Bus Lines and the school district investigate a reported altercation with a student. The investigation includes viewing a video recording of the event and interviewing students who witnessed it yesterday after school. Great Falls Public School Superintendent Tammy Lacey says the bus had picked up students at North Middle School and was waiting for students at C.M. Russell High School at the time of the dispute. Lacey says Big Sky Bus Lines will be reminding staff about appropriately de-escalating behavior, while the district will provide more supervision while buses are waiting. Big Sky Bus Lines General Manager Barbie Stucker says the company will release a statement after its investigation. The Helena Lewis and Clark National Forest is hosting their annual open house next week in White Sulphur Springs. Kathy Bushnell is a spokesperson for the forest.
And it's mainly just to invite the public in to talk about projects that we've been working on over the years, but also projects that we have planned field work going on this upcoming summer.
Spring and summer activities in the Belt Creek White Sulphur Springs Ranger District include prescribed burns, trail maintenance and improvement projects, and weed spraying. The forest is also taking public comment this month on a couple of pretty big forest thinning projects called the Castle Mountain and Horsefly projects.
The Castles project we have open for a public comment period that ends April 30th.
A draft environmental impact statement says the Castle project is aimed at restoring health to about 22,000 acres, with a lot of damage from pine beetles and spruce budworm. The idea is to prevent fires and make the forest more resilient. It includes about 2,800 acres of commercial and pre-commercial thinning. The other project the Forest Service is asking for comment on this month is for a little over 20,000 acres in the Little Belt Mountains.
Horsefly is a project that we have just a proposal out, and that we want to hear from people by April 26th.
The Horsefly proposal includes mechanical thinning and large landscape burns. Goals include improving conditions for aspen and whitebark pine trees. The All Projects open house for the Belt Creek White Sulphur Springs Ranger District happens Wednesday, April 18th from 4 to 6 p.m. in White Sulphur Springs. Details are available on our website, mtpr.org. There are two forums for the candidates in Montana's primary races coming up. Tomorrow night, the Democrats running for their party's nomination in Montana's U.S. House race meet in Sealy Lake. The Democrats will be joined at the forum by the Libertarian and Green Party candidates for the House seat. That event, held at the Sealy Lake Community Hall, starts with a meet and greet at 5:15 tomorrow night, with the formal interaction between the candidates starting at 6. The Sealy Lake event is free and open to the public. On Sunday, the Flathead Republican Central Committee is hosting the candidates in the GOP primary for Montana's Senate seat that's up in November. That event is being billed as a debate that's part of the committee's Lincoln Reagan Brunch fundraiser. Tickets range from $30 for one person to $300 for a VIP table for eight, along with candidates for Flathead County legislative, sheriff, and county commissioner seats. Senator Steve Daines and Congressman Greg Gianforte are also scheduled to attend. I'm Olga Kramer, Montana Public Radio.
With Montana News, I'm Nora Sachs in Anaconda. The EPA's top regional administrator set a new timeline for completing cleanup of the Anaconda Superfund site today in front of a standing room only crowd at the Old Works Golf Course.
We will start and complete delisting parts of the Anaconda Superfund site this year so that we can start to lift the stigma.
Doug Benevento is head of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's Region 8 office in Denver. At today's public meeting, he said he's kicking off work on a final cleanup plan that his agency hopes will result in a binding legal agreement known as a consent decree between the federal government, the state, local authorities, and the Atlantic Richfield Company, the company responsible for cleaning up.
We're going to start this, hopefully this afternoon, discussions about what a consent decree would look like, and we hope to be finished by July. And we hope to, and we will have portions of the site delisted by the end of the year. And I hope in 2025, there's somebody standing here saying we're done.
But Benevento said if a legal agreement can't be reached, the EPA will issue a unilateral order, which will tell the parties what to do. Anaconda was declared a Superfund site in 1983, but the town and Deer Lodge County still don't have a legally binding cleanup plan. Cleanup has been ongoing for years in the area around the Anaconda smelter, which processed copper ore from Butte and spewed pollutants like arsenic and lead for close to 100 years. Mark Phillips, an engineer who lives in Anaconda, was among the more than 100 people at today's public meeting.
We need to have full cleanup now. We need to find out what each and every hole result is so those pockets of pollution can be identified so that ARCO does not simply defer costs into the future, which effectively means that Anaconda is deferring its economic recovery.
The EPA's visit to Anaconda was prompted by community concerns about lingering health impacts from historic smelter pollution and a perception of high rates of cancer, ALS, and MS in the area. An official from the Federal Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry was at the meeting and said they will be back in May to hold listening sessions and start designing a health study based on residents' needs and concerns. I'm Nora Sachs, Montana Public Radio.
Montana News, here on Montana Public Radio, proudly powered by listeners like you. Make your pledge at mtpr.org, and thanks.